So we pour out our praise to you only, Lord.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap this evening. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're excited to have our Brother Dale Smith with us tonight from New Mexico. And he's here with his lovely wife, Joanne. God bless you, sister. I don't know how you got away with not singing, but I guess the night isn't over yet. Praise the Lord. Well, we don't want to keep you. We just invite our brother to come. I told Brother Dale he has the distinction of being the first visiting minister to minister in our fellowship hall. I don't know. I kind of feel like a visiting minister here, too. We're visiting in this building anyway. So, wonderful. Wonderful. He counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Hallelujah. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my name. Yes, he knows my name. Hallelujah. You believe that tonight? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Brother, God bless you. So nice to have you with us.
I believe I'm on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Father. If you have a need, maybe you would want to make it known to the Lord with an uplifted hand. I know He sees everything. He knows everything. So hold that need before the Lord. I know that He'll meet you. He said He sent the word and it healed the people. Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, as we gather here, Lord, and this assembly, Lord, just with our friends and Lord, loved ones, Lord, we've gathered here tonight, Lord, but Father, we would see Jesus. Lord, we're just asking you now, if you'd come among us. Lord, we felt you in the presence of the worship, Lord. Lord, we know you inhabit the praises of your people. But Lord, that's what we can express to you. But Lord, if you'd come and express to us now. Lord, if you'd come and manifest your purpose, Lord, was to live in a people. To be a people, to be a family. Lord, we just ask you now to meet every need, Lord, every hand, Lord. Heal the sick and the afflicted, Lord. And save the lost and the undone, Lord. And restore every backslidden son or daughter, Lord, that they had come into full fellowship, Lord, around the Word. Help us, Lord, we ask, as we, Lord, we just reach out to you now and ask you to minister to our hearts. Speak through the speaker, hear through the hearer, and we'll be careful to praise you for it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. God bless you, friends. Bring you greetings from the saints over in Española, New Mexico, where we've been residing for a little while there. Also, just got in, I guess today's Wednesday, isn't it? Losing track. God bless you all. Appreciate you. Got in night before last back home there and just worked all day yesterday and took off this morning. So we really haven't really slowed down too much. and don't suppose we'll be slowing down anytime soon. And like the one brother said, we'll rest in the millennium. Praise be to God. Amen. And I'd rather wear out for the Lord than rust out for the devil. That's for sure. Amen. So we don't have no grass growing under our feet. That's for sure. Just all is well. I trust that all is well. Amen. Love divine. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we just love you. Appreciate some of the saints that came over our way for our June meeting there in Española. Had a wonderful, wonderful services there. Just gets gooder and gooder, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. So trusting the Lord to speak to us this evening on a little Wednesday night service. Brother Doug's got him a nice little stopwatch here. I don't know if I'm supposed to start it or what. Just a little reference point there. And so, we'll try not to be on, y'all don't change your time. So we're by default, we changed. So we're just here and we love you and we just want the Lord to have his way. I'm in this evening. We want to minister one of the age-old topic of the church. It doesn't ever get old. Amen. Never tire of preaching it. But I want to title this evening's message, Today's Blood. Today's Blood. Amen. And so we want to take you to the scripture. We'd like to go over into the book of Revelations, chapter 5. And we're just like to begin reading at verse 1. Revelations chapter 5 and verse 1. I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Tremendous, isn't it? To God by the blood, by thy blood, out of every kindred tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Amen. Oh my, what a wonderful text. Let's be seated. Make yourselves comfortable this evening. We'll try to be a student of our time the best that we can. Now, we find here that a couple of things that I just want to make note of, that this place of which all of this activity is taking place here in this, some of us have labeled a little place, it was the bride chamber, as it were. It was a place where there was no devil. Amen. There was no foolish virgins. There was no 144,000. There was none of these things were there. It was just the Lamb and the throne and these beasts but we find something that was very interesting here, was that these beasts, that they and these 24 elders, they began to identify themselves as not just anointings, as we might have thought they were, though they were in type form and in symbol form. But once the seal was torn off, and we're looking back retrospectively, we can see that this is actually a personification of the bride itself, and the 144,000 are not there, not represented there, but the bride is represented here under those four anointings. And so, because it says that they were a redeemed people, so we have to come to that conclusion that thou hast redeemed us. If it was just anointings, then it would have no need of redemption, you see. And so now we see that this is a returning or a repositioning back to a divine order or a divine position that they had once held. Because these people now that are under this Revelation chapter 5 here, it says that thou hast redeemed us. In other words, thou hast bought us back, or thou hast restored us, hast put us back into the position that we once held. Because here in this place, they are in a heavenly realm. They're not in an earthly realm. Now, we go over into the book of adoption. Number two, Brother Ram tells us here, he said, no wonder when the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy when they seen the plan of salvation, God putting your name on the book before the foundation of the world. So now we've looked at the end of the book, as it were, and now we look at before the beginning of the book. And we find that in both places that there's these sons of God are shouting for joy because something has taken place here. Brother Bram tells us because they were recognizing that their names had been identified with the Lamb that had been slain, because it was the Lamb's book. Of the book of the Lamb who had been slain before the foundation of the world. And so now you're seeing him at the end of all things. And now John is seeing this one that he saw there just a few days before be crucified. He knew who he was seeing. Amen. A lamb as though it had been slain. And the Bible tells us here, and we can go on in the narrative and see that the 24 elders and the four beasts, which is bride representation, and they begin to fall down, and they begin to release sweet odors and incense, and oh, what a What a prayer meeting that was. Oh, what a praise service that unleashed. Amen. Why? Because now they were seeing that the one that they needed someone, because John had wept. They needed someone to come on the scene that was worthy to take the book that they had saw before the foundation of the world, because they had to get back there. And if they couldn't get back there, then all was lost. Oh, hallelujah. So now this book is being opened. One had prevailed. Amen. In other words, there was a battle had been fought. Amen. He had war had been waged. And this mighty conqueror, hallelujah, the vanguard of our faith, amen, that he had gone forward and he had conquered death and hell and the grave and rose up triumphant and brought the keys of death and hell with him. Oh my, what a position. And he was the worthy one. So he was worthy because he met the qualifications of worthiness. If he didn't meet those qualifications, you know, there was a lot of things that there had been people resurrected before. Lazarus, different ones. You know, the soldier that was thrown on Elisha's bones, different ones had resurrected. But they didn't meet the qualifications. So we look at the qualification here that he had to be virgin born. And if he hadn't been virgin born, then there was no way to reverse all the crimes that were held against Adam's race. And so now this virgin born son of God, because when he went down into hell, Satan asked him who he was, and he said, "My blood is still dripping off the cross." He said, "I am the virgin born son of the living God." Amen. So he met the qualification. He had lived out his sinful life. All that was spoken of him concerning the scriptures, that he now met those qualifications. And when he gave up the ghost, he sealed it all with his own blood and said, "It is finished." Knowing now that he would descend into the lower parts and that he would lead captivity captive, hallelujah, that he would preach to the souls that were in prison, that he would fulfill his third pull of his ministry, and that he would rise up triumphant. Oh, let me tell you, now he was a worthy one to come in this last days and to take the book and to loose the seals and hand that book off to a seventh church age messenger. Oh my. So we realize that this messenger of this last days, that in order for him to preach a blood that would be sufficient for our day, because remember, it's a bleeding word. It's a bleeding word. It's bled all the way down. Brother Bram sang the songs, the blood of the apostles, the blood of Christ. It's dripping with blood. It's dripping with this blessed old gospel is dripping with blood. Amen. So every age had a messenger. All the way back to Abel's blood. The Bible says that Abel's blood, that it even spoke, amen, from the earth. But we have a blood of Christ, which we realize that speaketh of better things than that of Abel. And we realize, because Abel was born after natural desire, but we find that this one, this blood of the mediator of the New Testament, hallelujah, he said it was the New Testament in his blood. Oh, praise be to God. So now, Brother Bram tells us that in order to select the messenger for each age, that they each had to have certain characteristics to qualify them. He goes back and he says, but you see that Paul here says that if anyone come preach any other gospel than what I've preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so this sets the precedent. This is the bar in which all other ministries must compare to. Hallelujah. And so now we've got the keystone of the New Testament ministry and what that ministry must emulate, what it must reflect, amen. And so we saw as they come down through the ages, each one trying to follow in the steps of Paul, but as they got further and further away, we find that those ministries, what Brother Bam calls in the Church Age book, the fivefold ministry, that it began to be tainted by the teachings of man. And by the hybriding of the church, until finally we get all the way down, even through the Reformation, though word was being restored, there were still many things that were not right. But so in our day, there had to come a message that was also dripping with blood, that it, because we find that under Methodist teaching, under the Philadelphian age, that they removed the blood from their songbooks. They actually began to preach a bloodless religion, because this is their words now, that they did not want a slaughterhouse religion. Oh, let me tell you, friends, something was happening, because now there was going to have to come a change of administration. Oh, dispensational change was to take place. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, he says, but we preach Christ. Now then, to the Greeks it's one thing, to the Jews it's another. But he said, but we preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. Hallelujah. So he began to preach a slaughterhouse religion, as it were, a bleeding gospel, a crucifixion, which was the worst of all kinds of death. It was a massacre of the human visage. And so here Christ, his body was marred more than any other man. His visage, we could not even recognize him. Oh, you talk about a blood, friend. You talk about a suffering. Oh, I'm talking about the sufferings. The Bible calls it his passion. Oh, he suffered after his passion. Oh, let me tell you, the movie producer there, Mel Gibbs. Oh, he tried to, with all of Hollywood's makeup and all of Hollywood's special effects, to try to reproduce. Oh, what happened that day on Calvary? But the best he could do was give us a mental image. Oh, but he could do that without suffering. Oh, there was no suffering involved. Oh, but let me tell you, that day on Calvary, it wasn't a mental image. Amen. There was a man, Christ Jesus, and he went there and he suffered. And he suffered like no man ever suffered. Hallelujah. The Bible says he was marred more than any other man. And when you think of those that were fed to dogs, burned at the stake, sawed asunder, pulled apart by wild animals. And you say, well, Jesus wasn't torn that bad. You say, well, is the Bible wrong? Well, we see that the Bible says that his bones, they stared at him. There was many men that were crucified, beaten, flayed alive. And you say, well, why would the Bible say he was marred more than any other man? Well, when you look at the word visage there not doesn't mean just the physical outside. But it speaks of the spiritual inside. And so here was every other man deserved what he was getting. But here was a man that was marred more than another man.
because he was more than a man. And therefore he suffered more than a man. When sin's load was laid upon him, friends, it was the sins of us all accumulatively concentrated, poured down upon the lovely Lord Jesus. Oh, my friends, he didn't die from the beatings. He didn't die from the nails. He didn't die from the scourging. He died of a broken heart. Oh, let me tell you, what a Savior. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, I want to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I want to know. And so here is our precedent. Here's the bar that had to be set. And so that this is a, he said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I didn't come to you with man's wisdom. I didn't come here to sedate you with large words and enticements. I didn't come here to wow you or to opiate you. Which is because we can say something in a fancy way. Yeah. Oh, they're, whoa, he can really talk. And Brother Bam said, oh, he said that parrot, he thought he could really talk. Man, he jabbered off a bunch of words, and them other birds, they just sit there looking at him going, wow, what an intellect. But he said, but when that lawyer with a PhD come in there and began to speak with that parrot, he just stood there looking at him. Why? Because he was a bird brain. No, I think, you know, that sometimes, you know, we get wowed. You know, I'm not here to wow you, friends. Oh, but if I could ever say something that would stir your soul to know that does he still feel the pain? Does he still feel the nails each time I fail? Oh, does he still cry? Does he still hear the crowd cry, crucify again and again? Is it my sins that are causing him pain? Because it's this key component of Christendom that allows us to be convicted of our sins. Anything else cheapens our Redeemer. Anything else lessens the effect of Calvary. Oh my, if you're convicted because the deacon caught you smoking. If you're convicted because mom and dad caught you on a bad website. If you're just feeling ashamed because somebody seen you out on the street in your shorts or in your pants or whatever at the movie house. And you feel embarrassed because they caught you. And you come to pay your penance for that reason alone. And you cheapen the Savior. It's not because you got caught. Oh my, that's the worst way to come to repentance. But the Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. That if you can ever come to a place and know that my Jesus died in my place, I should have been crucified. It was my turn. It was my place at Calvary. But he died that I could live. And when that comes home to you, friends, oh my, you won't touch it no more. You won't go there no more. Oh, why? You wouldn't do anything to hurt the lovely Lord Jesus. Brother Bam said he walked in that restaurant. He saw that woman there. Oh, she was so vile. Those men were so evil. That police officer over there playing gambling. He said, Lord, why don't you just wipe it off the earth? He said, when that spirit called him behind the door and he saw the vision of the Lord and the sins were slapping the Lord Jesus over and over in the face. He said, that's your sins, William Branham. Yeah. Oh my, it'll change your opinion. Amen. It'll change your attitude. Oh, let me tell you. We find that our cleansing comes through our relationship to God and our relationship to one another.
Sure.
That's right. Because salvation and cleansing by the blood is all umbilically attached to this one scripture. And if you don't have it marked, you should. There in 1 John chapter 1, just quickly, we can catch our breath here and you can chew that, what we got preached. Get that chewed up real good. Get her swallowed so we can move on.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my. And now that we're in 1 John and we're in chapter 1. And we're here in verse 7. But the Bible says, if we walk in the light, we realize that the light speaks of the word or the message of the hour. That's the illumination. That's the revelation. Light speaks of revelation. Is that right? Light comes and it reveals. And so here is this light as He is in the light. Who is that? That should be a capital H-E. And speaking as Christ. Christ the sacrifice. And we find here it says, and we have fellowship one with another. Now then, in the commentaries that I read, we find that this one with another, many times we translate that me and you. But actually, in the Greek text, it speaks that we're having fellowship with the other one that's in the light, which is Christ. You see, we walk in the light as He is in the light, and then we can fellowship with God, because what fellowship hath light with darkness? You see, the Bible says, and ye were darkness. Amen. So once we come into light, then we have fellowship one with another, and this fellowship is vertical, not horizontal. Brother Branham comes and picks this up and shows us that you are Christ. You are that revealed word of the hour. That we are the blood of God by the Spirit. That we are the representation, the reflection of God for our day. And so because of that, then that now, that same fellowship becomes horizontal or organizational in so much that it's within the organism.
Yep.
Because we're a body.
Amen.
And so now then that fellowship, so now when we come through the back door, that it's not just to have fellowship with Brother Doug or to have fellowship with Brother John or the different ones. No, but it's to come in to have fellowship with Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is the one sitting next to you. Amen. And so we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another and conjunction word. And it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so now it's a body fellowship that gives us access to the blood by the Spirit. Because remember, access to the blood has always come by faith. Now I want to read to you, let's see here, a couple of places I have scriptures. Yeah, Romans 3 and verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a, so He's speaking of the Lord Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. So there's got to be faith in His blood. Paul preaching to the Romans here, preaching a message of blood. And that there's only, because He's going back and showing them this propitiation, this word here that He uses is, it's a word that is also defined, I can't say some of these words, to expiate or to take the place of. And so this word propitiation here is best translated the mercy seat. And so Paul here He's telling the Romans, he's showing them, because he's preaching to the Jews that are in Rome, and he's telling them, he said, whom God has set forth to be the mercy seat. Because you, in times past, you went to the temple, and there was the place that you found fellowship, and there was a place that God chose to put his name there, and that was the only provided place of worship. But we find that when they came to that day on Calvary, they crucified him. And at the crucifixion, then we find that the administration of blood had moved from the paschal lamb of bulls and goats, and now had it moved over and was resting upon none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became the mercy seat to the people. Now then, that mercy seat there is very important, because we see that from then on the rest of the time through the Gentile dispensation. He says that that propitiation is made through faith in the blood. Because remember, now there's no physical mercy seat. There's no physical blood. Though there is a physical blood, in so much that it was spilt. But it went back to the gases, Brother Ram said. But now it's faith in that blood, or more importantly, that there is a communion with the life that was in that blood. Because remember that the blood was the life of the Word. Is that right? Jesus Christ was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the life that was in it was the blood. When that blood ran out at Calvary, Brother Adam said that Roman spear pierced that original blood cell. Now then, you know, we were making new blood cells all the time. I'm not here to give you the biology on that. All I know is what Brother Adam said. And I like saying it the way he said it. It pierced that original blood cell. He said, and when it did, it released the Holy Ghost. Oh my, from that blood, so that now it wouldn't be contained in one blood, but now it would be, amen, a blood that would be upon the entire body. Amen. And then we realized that when that life came back on the day of Pentecost. Now, so he tells us that Paul tells us that it's faith in the blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. So now then, all of our sins, which were many, amen, are made white as wool. Oh, as far as the east is from the west, he has cast our sins far from us. Amen. Though they be as the hairs of of my head, amen. Oh my, he has eradicated. He has given me absolution. He has given me remission of sins through the blood, so that they no longer are. I'm not being charged any longer, because he tells us that you have to. The blood is in either in one of two places. It's either on your hands, or it's on your heart. If it's still on your hands, then friends, you have a judgment to pay, because you're guilty of the crucifixion. You're the one that drove the nails. You're the one that said, crucify him. You're the one. You're the Barabbas. You're the one, the guilty one. But when you can let that blood move, oh, from my hands, and say, Lord, put it on my heart, and let me be transfused, amen. Let me receive that blood that was shed that day by faith. Let me apply that blood, and let the life that was in that blood come back upon me as I resemble the death, burial, and resurrection through baptism. Oh, then let that life of that blood now change me and birth me anew. Amen. Because that's what the sons of God were shouting about before the foundation of the world. That's what the four beasts were shouting about. Amen. Way out over here on the other side. Amen. Of the time dispensations. Amen. Because one was at the beginning of the hickey, and the other one was at the other end of the hickey. And Brother Ben says that time was down here in the middle. Hallelujah. But over here they were going back to where they started. Praise God. Now, as we said, that Christ's blood He said, Christ is God's provided lamb. Notice how appropriate it was, showing that Jerusalem was ceasing. You see, it was in effect until that hour. Then the blood of the lamb was all right until that day. But now, that's where I came to this. That's where I came to this. Today's blood, now blood. The blood through the church ages, it was sufficient under partial realization, under partial light. But now, under the unveiling, now at the time when the full revelation of the word comes, we have to leave dark denominationalism. We have to leave man-made creeds and ideas and come over into the blood of our day. Because we can only walk in the light as he is in the light. And he left those other things. He left that behind. They put him out. He didn't leave them by choice. They put him out. And so now he's come to what? To reveal Christ crucified. So what happened when they crucified him that time? Then the blood went to the New Testament church. But now there, the denominational systems, or the United States, or churchianity, they, the most religious people, Christianity, crucified the most horrible death, him, the Lord of glory. And he did it in this day, and they were indicted for it. They were indicted and convicted, and judgment was passed upon them, and they don't even know it. Or they don't, if they do know it, they don't, and they're going to receive it. Because they're saying, well, you see, nothing's happened. This goes on like it always did. Let me tell you, those honeycombs over there on the west coast are shaking. Let me tell you, that volcanics up there in Wyoming is trembling. Oh, those earthquakes up the Mississippi, they're trembling. Oh, let me tell you, those tsunamis and those hurricanes and all those things out in the ocean, they're just waiting. Why? Because those angels are holding back the wrath and the plagues that are going to fall. Why? Until the little bride is taken out. Amen. And then judgment falls in its full fury. Now, Brother Bam comes and preaches, and he says this message could not be preached until the seals. And so he comes forth and he preaches a message token. I believe he preached it 4 or 5 times. And so now then he preaches the token, and he tells us what the token is. He said it's the proof that your price has been paid. Yeah. Now then the price of your token is not anything that you can do.
That's right.
I go to a lot of foreign countries. I've been around the world 12, 13 times probably. I got tens of thousands of air miles, and I got, you know, we're just traveling all the time. But when I go get on that plane, I got that ticket in my hand. It's my boarding pass. It lets me through security, lets me do all those things. Now, but that has to match with an ID, photo ID, passport, driver's license, something. And so what that's called is biometrics. That there has to be a statistical record, has to match up with a biological signature. And the two of them have to come together. Oh my. And so when that happens, then I can get on board.
Yeah.
Now then, you as an individual, you're a piece of biology.
Right.
All right? Now then, if that life that's in you doesn't match the statistical record, then you have fraudulent ID. You ain't going nowhere. I don't care what you dress like. I don't care how well you sing, what kind of instrument you can play. I don't even care if you preach the gospel. If the life that God sees, you see, it's like this, that when a person, they dress the dress, they walk the walk, they talk the talk, they come to church. But it's not in their heart. You may fool all of us, But there's one, the Bible says, and the word is sharp and powerful. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So if you would rather have, you know, some modern frizzed up hairdo and cut it all off and paint your face and put metal all on your face, but you don't do it because you're getting booted out of your house, or some deacon is going to come talk to you, or the preacher is going to preach at you, but you wish you could, guess what? God sees you the way you wish you could be. That's the way God sees you, because he knows that he only can see the intents of the heart. But you can have all of those things on the outside, but really on the inside, you're trying your best. But you're stumbling, you're faltering, but you want to do better. You want to be free from all this worldliness. You want to be free from, but you're just growing slowly and God sees your heart. And if anything happened, friend, he'll see you as a virgin. Amen. As a pure, unadulterated son of the living God. Friend, I didn't make that up. That's what the blood of this day began to preach to us. Amen. In 1963. Before that, we didn't know anything about justification. We didn't know anything about the desire of a heart. There was no way to know it. But God began to speak to us and show us that if you're one of his, he saw you there. Amen. And when he saw you there, that's the way you'll be. And he'll make sure of it. And so he'll give you a token. Now then, a lot of times I get on the plane, and guess what? I didn't pay for the ticket. But I get to get on the plane. I get to go and I get to come back. But it didn't cost me a dime. Maybe Brother Doug paid for it. Brother Don here, Brother Jason, or somebody else paid for it. But it's my token. Got my name on it, matches my picture. Oh, let me tell you, one day I needed a token. I needed eternal life. But I couldn't pay the price. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he didn't know. He paid for my token. He made sure that my token was secure. And now I can hold my blood-bought token over every divine promise of the word and lay claims upon it and say it ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. Oh my, we were looking at a place in the message. Brother Abraham said that those squirrels that were created for the same purpose that the ram was created for Abraham. I thought, oh my, how is that possible? He was out hunting. He shot those with a gun. He was out having a good time. God gave him the desire of his heart. And them squirrels were not offered as sacrifices. Right. That ram was to take the place of Abraham's son. Yeah. It was a type of Christ. Sure. But Brother Ram said, for the same purpose. I thought, oh my, how's that? How's it even possible? The Lord said, just keep listening. Went on a little bit further, and he begins to tell the story at Hattie Wright's house. Now watch, for the same purpose. When it got to that place of Hattie Wright, he began to tell about the squirrels. The other brothers, they thought, wow, that's something. Everybody else sat around. But Sister Hattie, she said, Brother Branham, it ain't nothing but the truth. But Ben said, she said the right thing. What was it? It was her response to what God had done. Now put her in line to receive the same blessing. A spoken word. Whatever you say. Brother Ram, the angel said, wherever you say, that's where they'll be. And he shot them three distances like that. Another time it was five. Is that right? It was nothing but the truth. And what did that do? But that put her in line to receive the grace of the spoken word for her day. And her two sons fell across her lap. Is that right? Oh, let me tell you. Brother Abraham said it happened five straight times. Yeah. Let me tell you, friends, here this evening, we can say that there has been a light that has been shined, a blood that has been shown to us in this last days. And I can say, it ain't nothing but the truth. And when I say, it ain't nothing but the truth about them squirrels, then I can get my boys. And I can say, it ain't nothing but the truth about those boys, then I can get my storm smoke out of existence. When I can say, it ain't nothing but the truth about the storm, amen, I can get resurrection. When I can say it ain't nothing but the truth about resurrection, my wife can get healing. You can get healing. Why? Because it's the blood for this day. It's the revealed word of the hour. Hallelujah. Oh, when you can say it ain't nothing but the truth. By faith, Abraham. When you can see the word of God manifest for your day, it ain't nothing but the truth. What will it do? It'll bring those things to pass in your life. Amen. Oh, let me tell you. Why? Because he's taking us. Amen. Now I know there's all kinds of fanaticism. There's eighth day preachers. There's eighth messenger preachers. But Brother Branham used those language. He used that language liberally for a reason. He was showing us a holy convocation. He said we moved into the eternals by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said that's our eighth day. But what was it? He said, there is no more days or seasons or times. We're not in that. We're in eternity. So when you go to the eighth, you actually go back to the beginning. Oh my. So, you've passed from eternity. Where you come from, you was there to begin with. If you've got eternal life, there's only one form, and that's God, and you are expressed attributes. See, if you're not, you're not going to be there anyhow. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. See, which passes away, all these old things, but these things don't, so it speaks of eternity. The Holy Ghost is eternal, then you are in eternity where you was all the time. But you just recognized what happened. That's what we're recognizing, is that it's the same blood, not a different blood, just a different access ability to it through the message of the hour versus Luther's message. Because Luther's message won't work for today. Pentecost message won't work for today. Oh, let me tell you, friends. So, Brother Bam tells us that the threefold purpose, or the threefold manifestation of the mystery, the threefold mystery, was to manifest himself in Christ Jesus. Yep. Then to take that Lord Jesus Christ and put that into a church. Yep. So that he could have preeminence in the church. So that he would be operating in your life, my life. And to restore back to an original Eden. Now, that's my words. I want to read his words. Now notice again what this threefold purpose, manifest himself in Jesus Christ, to come into the body by Jesus Christ, to have preeminences, to restore back to Eden, to bring back what was lost. All right? So he's speaking of this Eden condition, which was what Job saw when he saw the sons of God shouting for joy. That's where they were. They were in that pre-fall condition. When the lamb was being slain, they saw themselves there and they're sinless, where God took the picture of them, put them in the family album, all these things. Before, Brother Bam said, he said he took the picture of you before sin ever had anything to do with you. All right? Now, to restore back Eden, to bring back that which was lost. Now watch, this is a key note right here. That was the only thing out of order. All the rest of the things was in order. So Christ manifesting in the flesh, in order. Christ coming in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that was in order. The only thing that's out of order is this restored Eden. Now, Brother Bam goes on here. That was in paragraph 172, Christ the Mystery. This is in 621. This is right at the very end of the message. He said, it's a revelation. It's as eternal as God's word is eternal. Look, but the threefold purpose of God's great mystery is revealed. It's revealed. God manifested in the flesh. Christ manifested in the church in order to redeem the lost Eve back to the original condition in the Garden of Eden. Oh my. So, like I said, there's fanaticism that wants to put us in the millennium. Fanaticism that says that, you know, that we're beyond judgment, we're beyond resurrection, we're beyond all these things. But what we're saying is that when you're in Christ, that you get the benefits in this life of everything that was purchased that will ever be in the millennium. Brother Brown says divine healing will not be in the millennium. It's for now. But over there, there will be a body that will never get sick. And so he said, well, divine healing is an earnest on that body. Oh, let me tell you, friends, we can reach over into that other dimension and pull, amen, healing from that other dimension, because healing is of God. And healing is in that other realm. Oh, there's satisfaction. There's joy unspeakable. There's peace. It's going to be the city of peace. Amen. The King of Peace will be there. And we have earnest already paid. The down payment has been made. We have access to eternal life. Amen. Everything, every redemptive plan of God is available to us. But this condition, I got to thinking about that condition. Now, there's a lot of things. One of the conditions was that they could go naked without any shame. That's what the Bible says. That they weren't unashamed. Is that right? Yeah. Because why, Brother Bam says? Because they were veiled with a veil of innocence. So that was the condition. So in that condition, Adam was an amateur God. Why? Because the Bible says if your heart condemns you, he said, then you can't, don't have faith. But if your heart doesn't condemn you, ask what you will. So there was the condition, was this condition of innocence. I began to think about that. As I began to think about it, I thought, oh my. There was a day, there was a man who was told he couldn't pray. And then if he did pray, he couldn't pray to anybody but to the king. And some people set him up. It was a frame job. And they framed him. And so now they turned him in, and the king was like, oh, Daniel, I didn't realize what was happening, but this is the law, and it's irrevocable. It's the law of Medes and Persians. It can't be changed. And so they took Daniel, and they put him not in a lion's den, but in a den of lions. That's a big difference, you see. When the lions are home, that's bad. The lions aren't home, well, it might just stink a little bit. But when the lions are there, bad news. The lions were home, and the lions were hungry. And they put Daniel down in there. Now watch, something happens. The Bible says that an angel came. Brother Bram called it the pillar of fire. There was an angel that came. God, theophany, manifested. He had preeminence with Daniel. Now watch. The king comes the next morning and said, oh, Daniel, do you live? Has thy God saved you, oh, Daniel? And Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. He said, for the angel of the Lord has been with me all night because innocence was found in me. Now he was saying, because the Lord knows that I didn't do anything wrong. But what was amazing to me was all three parts of the threefold purpose was there in the time of conflict. Oh, friend, let me tell you, there's times that you'll have conflict in this life. If your heart is innocent, If you know that you're have integrity with God, and that you live in all that you know. Brother Bam said that your day-to-day sins that you commit in the line of duty, that he doesn't even see them. I'm talking about today's blood. I'm talking about a message, amen, that eradicates sin, that takes the devil off your back, amen, and gives you some room to breathe, where you can say, devil, get behind me. I'm a son of God. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and his spirit lives inside of me, and now I can ask what I want to, because innocence has been found in me, not because of any righteousness that I have done, but nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. His blood stands before me. Brother Man said, he said, when you pray, I'm going to close with this thought. Musicians might as well start making your way. With this one thought, that when you pray, Brother Ram says, when you pray, and he, another place he said, when I pray, he said, God doesn't see me. He only hears my voice when it goes through the blood. Now, another place he said, then it's not my voice, it's his voice. Now, there was a day when Lazarus was 4 days dead. And Jesus walked up to the tomb. And he said, Father, I only say these things, not for my sake, but for their sake. Because thou always hear me. We're talking about the virgin-born Son of God. He said, when I pray, you always hear me. Then in our day, a prophet comes and says that when you pray, God doesn't see you. He only hears your voice through the blood, which changes it from your voice to his voice. So when you pray, God hears his own son pray. And he says, you always hear my voice. Always. Every time that Jesus prayed, he prayed in the garden when he prayed on this wise, our Father which art in heaven. He prayed, the Bible says he prayed more earnestly, and he agonized until his sweat turned to great drops of blood. And he sent an angel to comfort him, and he prayed the more earnest. Let me tell you, every time God heard his prayer, and God came on the scene. The devil would like for you to believe that God doesn't hear your prayers, that your prayers don't make it past the ceiling. But I'm telling you, if your heart is right with God and the blood is covering you and you pray through that blood, then whatsoever you ask in my name, that you shall receive. Or, amen, because that's God's word, and God's word is bleeding. And when I pray through the blood, hallelujah, it's not me praying, it's him praying. Amen. Because the Bible says you ask. He said you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. That means by perverted reason. So you know that's not being prayed through the blood. Because he sees the intent of your heart. But if your intentions are pure, your intentions are right, and you pray through the blood, let me tell you, friends, the answer is on the way. Daniel prayed. It took him, 21 days. But the angel came. He said, I heard you the first day, Daniel. He said, but I've been fighting through demons and powers and principalities to get here. But Daniel, I'm here now. Whatever you need, it's here. Oh, let me tell you, he's here. Amen. There was a little girl, and she was, they said she was dead. But Jesus said, no, she's only sleeping. Oh, my. Amen. Oh, and when he spoke, Tabitha Kumi, amen, being an interpreted maiden, arise. Amen. She come to her feet. He said, feed her. Hallelujah. Oh, what was it? God always heard the master pray. Maybe you got a need tonight. Oh, can you hear the master? Amen. Can you pray tonight with a heart that is under the blood, that has been washed, has been born again by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you can pray with a clean heart before God?
Amen. It's the same as if he prayed it. The answer's on the way. Oh my. Maybe, oh, one of you good singers, one of you saw brother come back to the platform, Brother Doug, whichever. Sing that little song, he's in the house, and we'll pray for you if you're sick, and God will heal you. Amen. Because the word came and the word built your faith, and now your faith is high. Amen. So you can ask what you will. Is that right? And God will answer. Amen. That's what he does. That's what he said he would do. He said immutable promises and he can't lie. God don't lie for him. God tells the truth. Amen. He heals. Oh, just anything. Yeah, I had my car broke the other day. Something, air conditioner went out. That's tribulation around here. It's great tribulation. I gotta have my air conditioner. I'm too big a boy. I gotta have that refrigeration. But the thing quit working. Oh my. And it's an old used Cadillac, and they'll charge me 3 prices to fix that stupid thing. And so I reached down there on that button. I put my finger on that button. I didn't push it. I said, Lord, fix my air conditioner. I use this rig to travel the country to preach your gospel. It's broke, friends. It was done. I went in the house and we fellowship with the saints over there. We come out, it's 100 degrees outside, 90-something percent humidity. About like it is in here. But I wasn't working over there. Oh my. I got in there, I wouldn't even think about it. Got in the car, started up, air conditioner worked perfect. I was like 2 blocks down the road. I said, he healed it. He fixed my car. Oh my. He's ever present help in a time of trouble. He said, well, you fix your car. Healed a possum. Gave life back to a little dead fishy with his guts all pulled out of it. You say, but that ain't nothing but the truth. That will bring a chain reaction to your storm. When your storm is so big, you can't control it. Isn't it? Brother Bram said that storm, he said it was a widowmaker. It was a death storm. Up in the mountains up there. He said, what kind of those storms would come up? He said, whiteouts. He said, just in a few minutes, he couldn't even see his hand in front of his face. He said, the angel said, go up higher. He went back up where he came from. He said, now it's a crisis. Because if something don't happen here, you're going to die. He said, now, speak to it. Oh my, now speak to it. Friends, you got a storm? That happened up there in Colorado. It was in the newspaper. Brother Bam put it on tape. I believe it. It ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. Now my storm is at the mercy of the third pull. My storm is at the mercy of 7 unknown thunders. Oh, my storm is at the mercy of spoken word by a vindicated prophet. My storm is at the mercy of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's today's blood, friends. That's what we operate under. We're not a bunch of, ill-equipped techies over here trying to work on some old compact 2. No, sir. We got terabytes and multi-core processors with all the whistles and all the gadgets. Amen. We can go into realms that we've never been able to go before with a computer world. Oh my, cars that have more onboard technology than the first Apollo spacecraft. Just think, if you had the right motor, you'd go to the moon. And your old beat up Chrysler New Yorker. That's right. You got enough onboard technology. If you had the right motor, you could go right to the moon. Come back. Oh my, where are we with OnStar and all these other things? You see, technology moving so far out. These are speaking of things that God is doing in his church. But the devil wants to get our mind all on that junk that's going to perish, going to burn with fervent heat. You know, it's going to go back to gases.
Oh, but this blood that we've got, friends. Oh, it's going to change us in our atoms. It's going to change us in our dimension. It's going to change us in our atmosphere. Oh, my friends. We got technology they know nothing about. Oh, my. And Brother Abraham said, and Jesus would preach this to the poor because they would believe it. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I'm glad. I'm just poor enough to believe it. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. Let's stand. Sing it, brother. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Do we know the words? Amen. Give him a mic. Only sleeping.
As he took her by the hand,
she began to live again.
Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, he's in the house, and death has to flee.